30s when
Oh my goodness, that brought me to town. The 29 closing of the banks killed everything.
What happened to you in 29?
We were broke. We closed the banks. We didn't have that much money there, but it was the people that we did business with that you couldn't buy. You couldn't get gasoline if you didn't have cash. That's what brought me to town. That's what put me where I suffered from.
Okay, well, when you say that, what, tell us, could you tell us just what occurred with your family during 1929?
In 1929, half of us were put out of business.
And on your farm, did your
farm? On our farm, we had a difficult time to hold on to because we couldn't purchase what we needed without cash. So we had to get along with what we produced. And, well, honey, you had to have a stamp for a piece of butter, a stamp for a pound of meat. See, some people don't
the rationing.
Yeah, doing the rationing, especially, for that matter, from this, when we started to come home from service. You couldn't buy a wheelbarrow until you get a purchasing paper from your county group. And he was on there, an attorney. Postmaster, and I think the Squire Typhon, one of the Typhon families.
Now, did you lose anything of your farm, or were you able to keep maintain
it? We were able to hold on to the farm. We were 5 years in arrears on our tax.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And this lasted throughout the 30s, this financial stress that you have, is that
call
correct?
It the miserable 30s,
yeah.
That lasted practically a decade.
Yeah.
Until the prohibition was opened up. See, that is, prohibition didn't help the farmer any, because...
Oh, in what way?
Well, the working man, he worked, many of them, for the drinks, and the food. And this is what they live on. Let's be realistic. How many of them... The McKee was paying out in cash for a number of years, and this I know. The women would come to the gate when the men were at the 3 o'clock shifts from 7 to 3. Why? Because they were stopped off with a bag of cash from the office when they came through, each one in line. They didn't get any further than the corner of 6th and Bullard Avenue to the hotel. Well, now, picture if his wife wasn't there, or a child, or his, when that man came home out of that hotel, and they start coming in there, each one treating the next one.
Now,
the milkman didn't have any money, there was no money left for the milkman. And this is what was going on during the Roaring Twenties. But when the miserable 50s were around, my dear people, I hope you don't have to go through that. I was under court order, married. Now here's a personal problem. Two children. And this lady that I was, I'll never forgive her. She had about three lawyers in her family. And the best way to tie that farmer in is under court order, and this was Allegheny County. And I come in with a handful of vouchers from the state that I delivered milk that didn't have money to buy it. Oh, we can't use that. Now, under under Judge Weiss, in the domestic court, I brought him in from my brother's store. A butcher paper, a sheet of the month's income, and where my money was at. I showed it to him and pulled out these here vouchers. Morton would be an idea to sell a few cows. He says, Your Honor, if I get rid of the cows, I won't have any to sell. Martha, one of these, Martha, I can't think of her second name, she was twice on the farm. Check on me under court order. why I couldn't keep up and obey what I was ordering. But when she saw what was going on the farm, my neighbors helping me fill the silo, and I was in the field loading the corn, she didn't bother me in the field, but she came back. After she talked to Isaac Gross, a merchant in the town, and Frank was in the
furniture.
At that time, he was the furniture man. He was a banker too. To get a job in town here, I'm holding my hand up. They signed my note. I had to have $1,000 bond to handle somebody else's money. And what did I get? A pocket full of NSF checks to bring in after I was on the business. I had the best, I learned the best thing in my lifetime, that it is the cash that counts. Now here were storekeepers from 29 to 37, July 37, Morris Blyberg, this was the Corliss Community, a craft distributor, craft cheese distributor. I had less to go home with than I did when I came in 29. You want a little more story about Morris Blyberg? Going through the depression?
Were you the owner of the farm by this time, because your father had...
The farm went kaput because there's too many owners.
Because of your brothers, or because of...
Well, there's Tsubikuna. You know what Tsubikuna? Oh, we had some Hungarians in the family, too. Because everyone wanted their share, and there was nothing to share with.
Was this after your father died?
Yes, father. Mm-hmm. That's 14 months. She died in 38. I took over when my father passed.
And this was in 1936, I believe you said. 37.
I left the company, not because I had to. I figured how much they thought of me at the company. Harry Kerpel, let in now? Harry Kerpel from Baltimore, Maryland, was opening a branch in Hagerstown. Came to the farm on a Sunday, and I can't give you the exact date, and talked to my mother. With Matt Fiddler, the foreman that I worked with at Corliss Creamery, he opened a branch in Hagerstown, and we needed a man that he could rely, so to speak. He wanted me to come with him.
A branch of what?
A branch of Kraft cheese.
And that's the point at which you left the farm.
No. I left in 29 in the miserable disaster.
I'm sorry. I thought everything had happened after your father died. Okay.
Well, my father died in 37.
Yes.
We were in the midst of it.
Okay.
Because, how much? So that was in well.
Yes. So in 1929 is
I came to town to see if I could make a dollar.
Yeah.
Into Pittsburgh.
And that's when your life on the farm was over?
No. It wasn't a Sunday if I could break away that I wouldn't be home because, gasoline at that time was plenty high in comparison to the other items that you were going. In fact, I didn't have a car. So what can I tell you how I got there? Well, I was shrewd enough. Helping the next man out the day how to use a truck. And by the way, when I was in Trafford, my route went as far as Trafford. So my home was 6 miles. Well, seldom I could hustle up on that day. I couldn't make it fast. The best I could do is bring my father a piece of Swiss cheese. But that's the only thing he could kill.
Hmm. So then how long were you in Hagerstown for Kraft Cheese?
I wasn't.
Oh, you didn't go. You were just offered the position.
I
see.
I couldn't get bothered because they came and put others to get
me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were looking for him, and they were surprised to find me in the hayfield where on a Sunday, it was midday. And I said, oh, I'm willing some help here. Are you going to handle this yourself? I said, no, I can't because there's too much there to
Now, I understand that was it during the 30s that you got yellow corn for the farm?
No, it was later than that, my dear.
Even later than that?
A bit later.
Okay.
I was established through the county engine. I worked very close.
Now, was this
trader.
During the 30s or later? I mean, in the 40s, that this
later
new
than
crop?
That. Oh, honey, it was later than that.
Okay.
I got some, oh my goodness, I was out in the valley really because the tractors came out and then I remember I had other Pittsburghers, but the best time they had on the farm was whenever we had the children from the Sunday school for the corn roast. This is where they would look from one year to the next.
So during the 30s,
Amsterdam and couldn't buy a pair of pants.
In trying to make some money, what all did you do during all this time? You went from various places?
No, I stuck with this company.
Yes, you were at the creamery, but then, was that throughout the whole time that you were at the Corliss Creamery?
I was at Corliss Creamery as soon as I could get in.
Okay.
It took me a little while before I was able to guarantee.
Could you tell us then the beginning of World War II, the late 30s, and then what happened during World War II?
Was it 41?
December 1941.
Oh, I was going pretty strong here in the 40s. I was registered, but now I'm in the third class.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. So you were on the farm during the war, World War II. Okay, what were you raising then? What were you?
I held on to the dairy business.
Mm-hmm.
And with my darling, this was already in the 50s.
All right, let's just stay on the 40s first.
And by the way, was this with you owning the farm, or was it
the farm
part?
Was in estate in the hands of my oldest brother and my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the job of maintaining it, and we had to put a barn roof on when it comes to laying out the money. And that was, by the way, during the war, 30 ton of slate. And guess who helped to drag it?
You.
I was lucky that I had a roofer that he had two sons to help, and one wasn't old enough to join the army yet.
But you were the one working on the farm, not your brother and brother.
No, there was no money for my younger brother. He hated the farm, period.
Okay.
Yeah, he would go. We went on the 18-wheelers on the road from coast to coast and got on the homestead transfer. There will be, I think it was first we were driving a school bus.
Uh-huh.
She married with a young lady. She wonderful Lisa from the Peace Corps, General Lynn's school. I'm speaking of my younger brother, born in Kinsey.
Lucy who?
What does he do?
No, Lucy who?
Lucy Braun, B-R-A-U-N.
Yeah.
He married her long before I married my dear.
Okay. Well, now, tell us about your life. Your personal life.
Suffered 21 years.
When were you married?
29.
Mm-hmm. To whom?
Bessie Mellinger.
Mm-hmm.
When she rests in peace wherever she's at, she tried her best to put me in there. 3 times she moved out on me.
Oh.
And you might put it in there. In Yom Kippur Day, I was in shul, and she arranged it in such a way she's coming to the shul at noon. I come home after Mila, the doors were open, the lights were on, furniture was on the way to Pittsburgh. And that was the last time she crossed my door.
And did you have children with her?
Sure, I had children.
And what were their names?
Oh. Shirley, the oldest, born in 33. I wasn't sleeping all the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think it's an answer. Diane was born in 86. She was also a lost kids. And the youngest, Faye was born when we lived together on the farm. I can tell you that, because at 51 she passed, she managed to get out. It was 45 and 51, she was 6 years ready to start public school. 45. Faye is on her own. She's still single. What is she doing? She won't have anything to do with her father because I divorced her mother. The oldest one is still working, and my husband. We're in finding some grapes from this kind of this past year. And helped to get some grapes that came and took some. And it was on the boulevard. She sells it. One is already working, the other one's still in school.
I would like to ask, during this time, the Second World War, when you were working on the farm, was it during this time you told me of the interesting new crop that you were able to get of the yellow corn?
Yes, I can tell you that now.
Was this for eating or for feed?
No, it's for home and house use.
House use. That was the difference from the other corn.
Yeah, we only had the country gentleman, the white one.
Yes.
Left for that. In 54, I married this lovely person that was widowed when her two sons were born in the 20s, working at Linton's. I can't tell you the number of years. She was a dressmaker. Seamstress by the profession. This doll helped me from that year, from 54 till she passed away. From 54, I gave her 68, 14 years on the farm. It helped Morris Blindman do what they had hoped to help me to achieve what I was aiming for in my lifetime by cash and carry on the farm in production. Now picture if you came to the gallon jug at 60 cents a gallon and made money. Mm-hmm. We're talking about these late. And if I went to, I got a nickel more, fine. If you didn't have it, you didn't go home without a nickel.
So So during the 40s, you were really more or less running that farm yourself?
From the after, as long as these here others can push me out.
Yes.
When they were starting to, where the upkeep on the farm and the taxation, that was my set up for being that. And I did the best I could, because you could never sell it. It had it gone down as it did after it was sold. What I mean by productive, or by, well, a farm is a farm. If you don't produce, who's going to pay the tax? So that I paid the tax, I paid the insurance. Oh, and I started this cash and carry. Person had come out and seen that I didn't have parking space in the yard. We used a back pasture field for the cars that were coming in, standing in line to get waited on a Sunday. Covered the deal of having ours. And here's an attorney. I says, I don't outside of this core of the avenue. But Morris, they'll throw you off the farm if the child gets hurt. Brought out an insurance man the next Sunday. Liberty Insurance out of East Liberty. I remember his name. And covered me over there. This after we were insured, they wouldn't take me on. This kind of fact, they were jealous that I was doing what I was doing, including the co-op.
So what were you selling? On the
anything
all
I
things.
Could produce.
Okay, like what?
Well, it wasn't very long that I had added to the stock, because I was milking 42 cows, and I came a Sunday with a 300-gallon stainless steel tank. They could fill their own jugs while I was milking. It wasn't enough. I built a 20 by 80 coupe for you heard me say from Wiltshire Farms, with the 3 dozen of eggs, pullet eggs, for $1. And I had pullets 3 times. Started in February. You see, I didn't start with milk alone. And the next batch would be right after their Easter, and the one would be later on. So I had pullet eggs throughout the year. And if I didn't have it, Walt, how about a few pullet eggs on the telephone? Well, my station wagon could only haul 10, 12 crates. Come over and get it, that Morris. This is the kind of people I dealt with. I paid him 60 cents for a day-old chick for registered stock. And we're not talking about the roosters, we're talking about pullets. And if there was a mistake in any of them, they'd throw all these sorting them out. I had four, I mean each 100 when we packed them for it. You got 520, sometimes I raise those extra four, if I had good luck. How did I do it? Well, with a team of horses in the pasture field. See, I started out in February, I was able to move them right after Pesach, and out of what we call a brooder house, into the pasture field. With a team of horses, I had a tractor field. You know, in this get bunch and out in the brooder house, I've got a new bunch in to the brooder house. I have people, I can take you to the tree light today, our president of the men's club, and he is, became one of our best leaders that you could find. He's a citizen on the road. He wouldn't go by on 131 home when he was on the road without stopping in on the farm. To him, it was just, oh, on the way home. You have a case of 4 days? Yes, I have. A couple of jobs for me, so more for me. I had students in the state school that came home Sunday and took gallons of milk from all over the school.
So this was your work during the 40s, is that correct?
The work later.
Later in the 40s?
After the war.
After the war. And into the 50s, mm-hmm. also, up until when?
68.
Up until 68 then, this was your life on the farm.
When Dearborn was in the house making change, oh, I have to show you Steffi. Steffi would come to me. Steffi at that age, she had the best time.
Can we do that later?
Yeah.
What happened in 1968?
I gave up.
Could you do it on your own, or did you...
Speaking of the business.
Yes.
That was mine.
The business was yours by then, or...
The
business was yours, but the farm belonged to...
The farm was estate.
An estate.
Yes, the farm, I got $2,200 out of the farm.
Wow.
It was a disgust. Why? Because... it went to the lawyer's hands. This little gem here is taking care of in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, we'll do that afterwards. Thank you. If you could tell us about giving up the farm.
Well, she used to make the change whenever they come in for a gallon of milk, especially when they had a 50-cent new jack, president.
Now it's...
The silver 50-cent piece of while he was president during the war years. Kennedy, for goodness sakes. She saved that in rolls. And my dear wife, when she sat, came to sing with all our bills. More once, after you get 50 of them, put them in a bunch. Well, they already knew when I came to First National Bank. He packaged the single dollars. In the picture on that Sunday with a 300-gallon tank that I had beside the milk bin. Turned in and I had to get help from the co-op. I didn't get them to go now. All the people that the empties would come out next morning from the work to pick up the milk.
Mm-hmm.
If there was any in the house, go ahead, take the shit out of it.
So when you sold the farm,
you
didn't sell the farm.
The farm was sold because I couldn't. How was I going to pay it out?
Did the bank sell it or who? Oh, I see. And then did some of your brothers and sisters get a portion of money also from that?
Well, they didn't mean they couldn't go very far. The attorney's farm.
And then
what happened to the farm?
No. What happened? Yeah. What happened with the farm?
Three brothers was able to get it under that kind of a setup. And they were on the state road contractors. In other words, they were in what we call building and road buildings. Well, they went so deep in the hole and they ended up bankrupt. The banks to this day has the farms.
And there's nothing on it? They're idle?
A dump.
Oh.
So your farm today is a dump?
They didn't backfill when they were coal strippers, these here three brothers. And they got to the sun with no coal business. So they got on a state road and then they went so deep in that hole that the farm is not a farm anymore. And it's within walking distance from the Pembroke. First one north out of town. You can't even get to a public road. It's full of holes.
So then what did you do?
What did I do?
After 68.
I came to Shore.
You moved to Pittsburgh? Uh-huh. And?
Moved in on Northumberland Street. Morris White's. 4 years.
You lived with him?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rented from.
Oh, rented. I'm sorry.
On Northumberland Street, we had a decent apartment. In fact, Mrs. White's and mine, Darren, they were both seamstresses. You would think they were sisters and related. I helped to build a cupboard on out of the one bedroom for she would be a seamstress for those ladies' stores. And the shoes they were getting to work. It was unusual. It was dress hanging from one wall to the next, all ready to go out and some coming in.
Oh, your wife was working then?
Well, she helped her out.
Mrs. White's was a seamstress. Okay.
Two of them together. Uh-huh. Mine grew with an electric machine. She had the best that was available for, at Linton's.
Uh-huh. Oh, she went back to Linton?
No.
Oh.
Linton's put in 18, 20-hour days.
Morris, did you have a family with your second wife?
No, yes, but I had several stepchildren.
Okay.
My grandchildren, oh my goodness, Grandpa, you didn't see my garden this year. And she's, out of school. She manages Reynolds' branch.
Oh, who were your stepchildren?
Lewis's.
Their last name is Lewis?
L-E-W-I-S.
And the first name?
George is really the man. The older one is in Long Island. He's one of those playboys.
George Lewis lives here?
George Lewis is in a week going by. He's on a Sunday.